Hey everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk. In this episode, we get into the songs at the top of our playlists and, quite frankly, should be added to yours. We have Numbers by Jamie, Taemin's Criminal, Super M's Tiger Inside, and Treasure's Come to Me. From older groups to new goose, we got you covered with the K-bops.
Hi everyone, welcome back to Idol Talk, where we explore South Korean pop culture one obsession at a time. My name is Nathan and I'm your host.
Hey everyone, I'm Ashley, the editor for Idol Talk, and this is your reminder to vote for your fave on iLand. On the Weverse app.
What, that finale is coming up soon, right?
Right, next Friday.
All right.
Hey everyone, I'm Chris, co-host, and I'm just gonna follow suit by Ashley and send all my love over to Heesung, because I love that boy. He's so cute, and he's so damn talented.
And I'm Casey, co-host, and this is your reminder to vote for Jay on the Weverse app so that he can debut on iLand.
No, Jungwon!
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. Whatever. Okay, alternate. No. Alternate Jay with Jungwon. That is my current strategy. I'm so sorry. I prioritize Jay when we know Jungwon needs it more for some reason. Really, but we'll get into it later.
So as a non-island watcher, I picked one this weekend, right, Ashley? Who did I pick?
You probably picked Heesung because that's Sammy's fave, her son. Yeonjun's brother, V's son.
Okay. Well, I tried. This
very,
weekend.
Very
Anyways,
big smile. So,
what do you think?
I only watched one performance. I think, no, you told me that I picked like an Australian person.
Jake. Oh, yeah. His fave is actually Jake.
Jake. He's my next fave.
Yeah. We watched the Flicker performance maybe like 5 times.
Oh, he was really good in Flicker. He stood out for sure.
Yeah.
He's been doing really good lately. Mm-hmm. I love that he's doing the Aegyo.
I know. Too bad his double voting didn't promote him up very far. But anyway.
Rip.
And just so that the fans know, I have a very complicated history with survival shows, so I no longer watch them. But it doesn't mean that I don't care. I just don't watch them. In any case, if you want to know more about that, let me know and I can set up an individual Zoom meeting with you. I'm happy to talk to you about it. Okay. In any case, it's been a while since I've been on, so it's good to talk to you three. We'll go ahead and kick it off with our recommendations for the week, and we'll start off with Chris.
Hello. Okay, so this week was a toughie because my go-to playlist, Girl Crush, I've wrecked the heck out of it, so I'm out of songs. So I had to go into K-pop Daebak and a bunch of different like Korean playlists on Spotify, and I stumbled upon Numbers by Jamie. And so the main thing I want, so this is a fairly new song from Jamie. It came out on September 3rd this year, so barely 6 days as of this recording. And this song reminds me of like early 2000s R&B pop, like Ashanti, Jennifer Lopez kind of ish.
Love that.
Like, you know, that early 2000s vibe.
Yeah.
That's what I got from her. A little bit of, what was that song by JoJo? The one, her one hit that came
out. Get Out?
Yes.
Get Out.
Yes, that one. Yes.
Loved it. Loved it.
It was the vibe that I was getting with this song. So I think that's why I was very drawn to it, because that is a very good time in my life before I was an adult. teaching me how to pay bills and a mortgage. And I don't know. The funny thing about Jamie is that I vibe with her songs so well, but I cannot vibe with her.
Yes.
I don't know.
100%. I love Jamie.
No.
I don't know what it is. Why? Like, I'm not saying she's a terrible person. I can't vibe with her. Like,
Is it because she's too out there?
I have reasons. You want me? Me to say my reasons?
Okay. Hold on. Let me say mine first.
Okay.
I think it's coming from a teacher's point of view. She's so outspoken, so out there, so much attitude, that I feel like if I were to have her in a classroom, I would die on the inside.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a total mess.
Yeah, I would die on the inside, but not tell her that I'm dying in the inside, because I would never tell my students that. So, but at the same time, it's good that she's so outspoken. I can't vibe with that.
Well,
K-pop needs a bad bitch to lead the trail, and Jamie's taken on that mantle. I know there's other artists that are trying to do that, like Western bad bitch vibe that is very foreign to K-pop artists that are women. But I think she does it the best out of all of them.
That's true.
My opinion. Debatable. I identify with her. I love her. I'm the annoying, stupid, sassy person in class, so I think that's why I love her so much.
Okay,
I find her attitude and her sass to be forced and somewhat fake.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This take is scalding.
Hot take, Ashley?
Yeah.
Hot take much? I don't know.
I know that she can speak regularly because I've listened to her podcast, and there are times when she's calm, but when she's excited and like getting into the conversation, she starts to turn on her sass, and it's just, it's annoying. Like,
are you saying that it doesn't feel natural?
Right,
Ashley?
It doesn't. What Sammy does the same exact thing, and she explains it as acting cool.
Is it like appropriating African American vernacular English? Is that what you're getting at? Oh, okay, because I noticed she does get like
she does it a little bit.
I've noticed that.
I think that I have the same comments as you all. I think that something to add is that I don't know if it's so much fake, because I feel like she's been really consistent with this in terms of, like, she's like this on ASC for, like, years. Mm-hmm. Like, this is her vibe. Right, so I don't know if fake is the right thing, but I think that she has a hard time connecting with, it seems like she might have a hard time connecting with, like, the American K-pop audience. And for sure, like, there's a disconnect with the Korean audience. So again,
she doesn't have her own kind of persona or identity as an artist in this industry.
I think she is. She even American?
I don't think she is.
Like, where does?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know. Yeah, that's
her attitude is. Because everyone in at least mainstream K-pop is very, like, prim and proper. And she's outspoken and loud and sassy. So she kind of reminds me of, like, Jessie in a sense. But I just feel
she
like
she doesn't have the Jessie personality that fits.
Right. And I feel like her outspokenness, yes, it is needed for someone to speak freely and speak their mind, but the way that she does it is so tacky, in my opinion. Like, going on ASC.
Sorry.
Where is she from?
She's in Korea. Daejeon.
How does she know English so well? She lived in Thailand.
Yeah, she lived in Thailand for 8 years and went to Garden International School, Bangkok.
She knows some Thai. She shouts it at Bam from, what's his, Bam Bam?
Bam Bam. Yeah. Bam Bam got 7.
Maybe that's why her and Bam Bam are so close on ASC.
Right. I just think her, like, fucking throwing insults at JYP on, like, a television show. And a television show that's, like, not affiliated.
For children.
She even does it in front of JYP artists. It's just fucking tacky.
She doesn't give a fuck. Well, if you think about what became of her career under JYP, I feel like she, like, if she were a Western artist that went through a similar thing, it would be acceptable for her to speak up. But because she's Korean, are you, like, not happy that she spoke up against him and publicly called him out? Because that type of stuff brought action, you know, and she started being able to, like, break free or branch out or start exploring these different things and making aware. Like, what happens when artists are quiet. They get taken advantage of, or they get, you know, like in the case of The Rose, they don't get paid for 3 years. So, I mean, yes, maybe she should have been more tactful about how she can deliver these types of things or say these things, but we all say stupid things and we're all young. Just because she's in the spotlight doesn't mean that she has to act like every other female solo, you know, or female artist.
Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying. Like, I support her, like, publicly insulting JYP if that's how she feels. It's just fucking awkward if she's, like, a host of another TV show and she's working and she's throwing insults at her company in front of other JYP artists. Like,
I get what you're saying.
That's just awkward and, like, unnecessary, especially when the show isn't about you.
She demanded it be about her.
But I'm happy she's signed to a new company now. I feel like she can finally, like,
she's been really doing a lot of colors
and, like, be herself. I'm happy for her.
So I remember the one picture that we saw of her after she did not renew her contract with JYP. And remember, like, people were making a big deal because she was showing her breasts and, like, cleavage, and they all realized, like, oh,
she's hot.
Yeah, she's hot. She has big boobs. She got body. She looks good. I remember that picture, and I remember thinking, like, yeah, girl, like, I'm glad you're doing your thing. Like, show off your body if you feel confident with it, you know? So for that, like, I do commend her. I do commend her for being outspoken, because that's one thing I never could be, really. Because it does take a certain kind of strength to be that outspoken and not care what anyone's saying. I just can't.
Maybe she was just trying to get fired.
Get fired?
Like,
from...
maybe she was. Yeah, maybe she was being so, like, bold so that they would be like, "All right, let's just cancel our contract."
She still does it on ASC, even though she's out of JYP.
Yeah. To be fair, I've only really noticed her after she left JYP, so I wouldn't know the difference.
So it works.
In any case, I think, yes, it seems like she's controversial, but also
her music slaps.
Takeaway is that we're positive about her music.
Yes.
Yes, and Numbers is a bop.
It is a bop.
Numbers is a summer, is like the summer bop we deserved but didn't get in time.
All right. Awesome. All right. How about let's go ahead and go to Casey.
Whew. Are we ready for me to go?
Okay. Dropped in.
So I feel like I've just had the most exhausting, like, end of Leo entrance to Virgo season. And just all these comebacks have been stacking one on top of the other. There's a lot of ish going on in the K-pop world in general. So and also my personal life, surprisingly. But I will say, I feel so, like, when I started getting into, like, K-pop really in earnest, there was, like, a rush that I would feel, like, with every new music video I watched that was, like, BTS, or, like, a new interview I consumed. And this comeback season, Lee Taemin has brought that out of me. again. Of course. I am consuming, like, stuff I used to, like, I completely left VLive and I rarely watch VLive, but I've been back on VLive because of him. And So my recommendation this week is off of his new mini album, Never Gonna Dance Again, Act One, and it's Taemin's new song, Criminal. So this is his title track, and it's, I thought Two Kids was amazing, and I still sing this song to myself all the time, but Criminal is like, it escalates the emotions from Two Kids in a different direction, where he's lamenting that they were, you know, whoever was the other person, they were young and dumb or whatever, and they made mistakes. Criminal is like, he's talking about how the relationship is like a cycle of abuse, and he knows that it's like wrong and it's bad, but he just cannot like quit. So Teen Vogue did a write-up on his comeback and this song in particular, and they open up this article on Taemin. By the way, Teen Vogue, bravo. I love that write-up so much. It was definitely written by a Taemin. I just know it. But so the article opens up talking about the imagery in Criminal in the music video, and it's talking about tarot. And obviously, and I don't know if you guys know, but I've like been really into tarot over the past like 2 months. And the card in particular is that they're talking about in the article is the devil. And if you see on this card, the imagery of the devil is two people chained to the literal devil, but they're not straining against their chains. Like, they look...
For our listeners, Casey is holding up her tarot card now.
Yes, and yes. I'm describing the card.
You cannot
see. So there's a man and a woman, and they're nude, and they're chained to the devil, but they're chilling. They don't look like they're struggling. They don't look like they're scared. They're having a good time. And he said in his VLive, for his comeback VLive, he said that the song is about someone with Stockholm Syndrome in their, like, abusive relationship. Ooh. So it, like, and then the devil tarot card is about, like, giving into your vices, giving into your addictions or things that are bad for you, like, knowing full well that they're bad for you. So that's what his song is about. And it was such,
oh my god, this,
like,
is deep.
This is long and deep. I'm so sorry,
like,
but
you're
actually I'm not
your
sorry.
You're presenting your thesis to us. You're presenting
I am presenting my thesis. I am.
I
so
love it.
This video is just like a visual feast. I know I say that all the time, but he really, like, he... I don't even have
yeah, this is a complete
to capture.
So, like, we were saying that we're going to go through, like,
that I felt from this video. It's like,
listeners,
insane.
I wish you could see Casey's, like, expressions right now.
I'm going
now.
Through
like,
it.
Her expressions are saying everything about this video.
He's doing, like, a busted lip, cut across the nose, beat up looking look for this video, and it looks good. Let me tell you, it, like, suits him.
I mean, you were saying last time, right? We're like, we're gonna go through Whiplash with him. We are talking with... about Two Kids, right? Mm-hmm. And then I asked you, like, what are we gonna get next? And you called, like, you were like, we're gonna get Whiplash. Mm-hmm. Because Two Kids was a very melodic, more vocal ballady type of song, and then now we got basically like a mixture of Move and
yes.
Want.
Yes.
You know? Like,
but
the normal
on a different
Taemin.
Level. Like, Demon Taemin came out and he was not here to play. He is the king of sensuality. And I punctuate this statement by telling you about this part in the song and also in the music video where he looks at the camera in the video and he says, destroy me more. in this deep, strong voice.
Oh my god, it's like so BDSM.
Yes, it's very, I didn't want to say this because I didn't want to kind of put that on him, but his, the way he is in this music video and in his comeback in general is a lot more fetishy, erotic, and it's so strange to say that because Taemin, the person, is very, he is a prince. He is so cute, little fairy, you know, very different people, his like stage persona and his real life persona.
Yes.
And it's like, how is this sweet 6v6 ace of aces so capable of channeling this kind of emotion?
But it's like you were saying, it fits in really well with his discography.
Yes.
Right? Like he has on, I believe it's his Pressure Number album, he has a song called Sexuality. Mm-hmm. Like he does
like not this fits shy
right
away
into
from
his. Yeah.
This is not shiny Taemin. No. And this is definitely not Super M Taemin. This is like he is pulling out all the stops. And one of his greatest strengths is that he's very like feminine. He has soft features. So he can wear these like crazy like blinged out eye patches and like all these rings on his finger and like all these things that people would be like, that's a little that's extra, that's TM, and TM is, you know, Taemin. So
oh my god,
he just fits in. But then you have the other side of him where he's like this soft bit, like some drama happened with his release earlier like this week or last week. And the first thing he did was he ran to LYSN. Listen, is it called Listen?
Yeah, Listen.
He ran to Listen and he was like seeking comfort from his fans. And it's this very specific like relationship because a lot of Taemins are Nunas. So we're all like, no, we'll take care of you. We'll comfort you. You can always, you know. And it happened in his comeback V-Live. He was reading the comments and someone was like, don't forget to drink water. And he was like, oh, is my voice sore? Okay. And he like stopped to drink. Like, it's so precious. Ugh. I have so much more to say, but
I want to say one more thing. My favorite part about this for the last couple days was that Key posted about Taemin's new song on his Instagram account promoting his little child.
Yes. And
I was like,
in Taemin's comeback V-Live, he mentioned that, like, Key posting that meant a lot to him because Key's support, like, validated Taemin's work. Like, he felt validated that everything, that his vision, all the work he's putting into this comeback is paying off because, like, Key is, like, a bougie bitch, you know? He knows, he's got taste, so he knows quality. Yes. He's also like not just gonna promote Taemin. I mean, yes, Taemin is a little baby, but you know, like this clearly meant a lot to Taemin. And Minho sent him a food truck to his Criminal music video filming set.
Yeah.
Oh, we love trucks.
I know. And I'm gonna read you the translation of the banner. It says, "Victory! This is Marine Sergeant Choi Minho. Our Taemin-y do gain strength. Our Taemin-y, please gain strength and do well. Create something from nothing."
That is so sweet.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. I just love it.
And then during his V-Live, Onu and Minho were like commenting and like chatting and he was getting like embarrassed that they were watching and he was like, like so shy and flustered.
That's so cute.
I love him. I pre-ordered both versions of his new album and they're still not shipped. So Music Plaza, I'm calling you out. Please send me my delivery notice or my shipping notice because I'm stressed and I want to unbox.
Ooh, you should do an unboxing.
I will. He did an unboxing on his V-Live and I wish I had never seen it because it kind of spoiled. I didn't want to know like what things were really in it because I wanted to, you know, be surprised because when you support like a solo artist in that way, you know you're gonna get the same photo card everyone else gets, so there's like no element of surprise. So, but it's okay, I forgive him. But yes, his live stage for Criminal is coming out September 12th on the stage. So everyone, please support Stream Criminal music video and also the dance practice and also the behind the scenes. And support him because he's been working hard on his English. And that's it. I love him.
Wait, Casey, I have a question for you.
Yes.
When did you decide that Taemin was like your ultimate bias? Or when did he pick you? Like, do you have a particular moment?
Taemin's haunted me my whole life. So do you remember I told you the story of when I was living in the Philippines? It was like in high school. So this was probably like 12 years ago. And I saw this poster in one of my classmates' bedroom, and it's freaking Taemin, long hair, shirtless, sitting on a chair, like a throne or whatever. I think that was Sherlock era. And I was like, what the fuck is that? Is that? And that was like one of my first like introductions to what K-pop is as a concept. And I was fucking scared. I was like, I'm just gonna stick to fucking Western pop. I think it's less sexually aggressive. And I was a minor. I mean, granted, he was too. We're the same age, me and Taemin, but I'm older by a month, so I'm still as Nuna. Anyway, so later down the line, when I started getting into K-pop and was like really vibing with SHINee, I saw the Sherlock era photos, and I was like, oh my god, like, because I didn't recognize that that was Taemin at the time. I didn't, obviously didn't know anything about him, so yeah. And then when I realized it was him, I was like, that's hilarious that, like, I was terrified of him at first. And then with his solo work, I was actually getting really into his solo work, but he wasn't my SHINee bias. I don't know if that makes sense. I don't have a SHINee bias.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, to be honest. I don't have a SHINee bias either.
Yeah, like, who can just pick one? But yeah, that's it. Taemin's always been sexually aggressive with me and scary to me, and here we are, full circle. He's still doing it.
Okay, well, Taemin's not done, because this is just act one.
This is just act one.
So.
Yes. I was right to be scared of this, and now I'm going to be even more terrified of what's to come. He said this is, like, a culmination of a lot of his, like, creative works and connections that he's made in the industry, like with choreographers and songwriters. So it's really exciting to see like what he's doing with his art, because it is art. Yeah. It's not just like, he's not just a visual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like a true passion project.
Yes, that's why I'm passionate.
And I will also say, this is his third full length release. Like, three full-length albums as a solo artist is, as a K-pop solo artist, right? Like, not someone like BoA, like, not someone like, I don't know, Rain, right? Someone that got built from a K-pop group. Mm-hmm. Like, that is huge. Mm-hmm. To have three full-length albums.
He is the blueprint.
Incredible.
He is Ace of Aces. He is the king of K-pop. And
Haechan's father.
He is Haechan's father. And you know what? He's only 27.
Damn.
That's the craziest part. Like, he spans three generations of K-pop.
Damn.
And he's only 27. So put some respect on my man, because he's coming for all our throats.
Oh, we do. We do.
We all do.
You're right. You guys have taste.
I was honestly about to wreck Criminal, and then I was like, nah, I can't do it like Casey does. I'm just not even going to try.
Yeah, I got a little intense, and I'm not going to apologize, because I love him.
All right. Well, lucky for you, Casey, we're not done with him yet, because my wreck of the week is going to be Super M's Tiger Inside. Let's grow. So bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. Get a bar, hurry up, wake up, get a bar. So I think that there are mixed feelings about this song in this little quadrant that I'm looking at. And I think that, if anything, I thought that the weird feedback would come from me. Because I feel like this isn't really a song that you think that I would jive with.
Yeah, that's true. But 1,000%.
I come from it this way. One, I am SM biased. They are my company, my ride or die. They were my gateway into K-pop. So I just happen to be drawn to a lot of what they release. Also because they have my favorite artists. So when you shove a lot of them into the same group, I'm just gonna like that.
It's a joyless cash grab.
Super M is a performance group. Like very similar to like...
Visual.
I don't know.
They're a visual group.
Yeah, right? So like... This song was, the visuals were really good, right? I like to call Taeyong the Sky Castle Mom.
Why?
Because.
Why?
Because his hair.
Because he looked like one of the Sky Castle moms. Like he had his pearls on.
He had like a bang.
Hair up.
Okay. Yeah, a single bang.
And I was like, just tell me to, like, tell me what I have to study and I'll never not
listen to
you.
Oh my god!
Tutor me. I will never betray you.
Dude, he, like, bias wrecked me hard in this video, which is crazy because usually I only notice Taemin every time, but in this video, like, I posted clips from it on our IG.
Signs.
Yeah, and you said dinner's ready, and I was like, what the hell?
I love that line.
So, okay, before we go more into the performance, I was watching their back, their, like, behind the scenes, the stage, so it's SM, so they have that as well, and I wasn't ready for this because, okay, the listeners know, the hosts know that usually I look for, like, a song with a really good meaning. This one, I wasn't looking for any meaning at all. I just kind of enjoyed it. So,
yeah,
like,
there's no meaning to
change. I'm changing. Right? You're evolving.
But the boys were really, really sentimental about the song. So I was really confused by it.
Wait, how?
They were like, well, the song is about, you know, releasing your positive energy. Like, you know, as a, like, in the form of a tiger themed. And then they were going into how we want this song to be an inspiration to everyone that's having a lot of hard times because of COVID and to just, you know, release your positive energy. And I was like...
Standard K-pop boilerplate.
I like that. I like that. But I was like, wasn't expecting it to like this was across a lot of different interviews. So like Kai said that, Taemin was saying that. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I wasn't really ready for that, but I vibe. So
wait,
then
time out.
Yeah, Chris.
Did this come out before or after Dynamite? In terms of release?
I think after.
After.
I don't know.
After? Okay. Okay.
Why?
I will speak my thoughts. Because okay, so a lot of the feedback that I, or at least what press has been saying about BTS's Dynamite is that it's kind of what Casey said, like, here's the serotonin to your last two brain cells among everything going on with COVID. Right?
They're piggybacking is what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. So I have a feeling that maybe could they have been influenced into saying that based on how much positivity BTS got here in the States, and saying that
that's plausible.
Super M, yeah, I mean, is coming after the same audience, target audience as BTS.
True.
Right.
True. Ashley, I'm going to get to that, but since you bring it up, okay, go ahead, Ashley.
I was just going to say that K-pop always tries to draw meaning from nothing. And so that's what this sounds like. Like, we know that this is just a summer bop. Like, fucking spread positivity if that's the message you want to put out there.
I was not looking for any meaning. I was just enjoying the stage.
It's a bop.
I was just vibing.
That's it.
Yeah.
I didn't need it. But I'm just like, the boys talked about it a lot, so I think it's important to say.
Well, and, you can't tell me Taeyong is trying to
what
cure
else are
COVID
they supposed
by
to
being
talk about?
Shirtless on a motorcycle and growling like a tiger.
They weren't shirtless, for God's sake. Taeyong was wearing a crop top.
They were all fairly close.
Anyways, okay, so I have a couple more comments. One is kind of a follow-up on Chris's about the target audience, right? We know that Super M is marketed to an American audience. usually I don't really care for that. But what I did appreciate was that, well, this wasn't their actual release, at least the comeback release. This was a pre-release on their album. But they still did Korean promotions. For example, they didn't promote on music shows, but they promoted on Knowing Brothers, which I really appreciated. I haven't watched the whole episode yet, but from the clips that I saw, it was really funny. I really appreciated that they, in terms of the target audience, like, yeah, they went on, I think, Good Morning America. Like, that's kind of a given these days. But they're also not neglecting, like, the Korean promotion side by going on that variety show, which I appreciate.
That's true.
I'm not saying that that's a zero-sum game with other groups that were brought up 2 minutes ago, but, like, I think that's important, and I think that's a plus, at least for me, because usually I don't really like the, oh, I'm only going to cater to the Western audience, and I don't think they did that with this release, so that's why I also appreciated what they did here.
They're probably just, like, promoing Super M as, like, a pre-promo for, Taemin's comeback and the future NCT comeback, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that also anything that we get with Super M, like, these days is kind of a plus, because honestly, I thought they were done after dropping. Like, I thought this was kind of like a one-year thing, I'm glad they're doing more things.
I knew that it wasn't going to be a one-year thing, because I think I was watching the episode, the series special that they have on Viki, and I think it was Kai or Taemin that said, you know, I wouldn't do this if it was a one-time thing. Like, once they presented me the entire plan and I see how we're going to be coming back together, I was here for it. So I kind of knew that they were going to keep on going. My question is, did they promote Jopping over in Korea, or it's just been Tiger Inside?
I mean, like I was saying, it's targeted to America, right? So most of the promotions were there, but there's also SBS stages of it. Like, there are...
Now I remember.
Korean stages that actually I mean, I've seen them. So, like, they don't... It's not exclusive for them, right? But clearly, it's targeted to an American... It's to an English-speaking Western audience, which is fine, but I like how they also... promote to Korean audience. If not, it's not balanced, but, like, they still do.
Yeah. But they're for sure coming for...
I thought that...
the Western audience.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, also, I thought that this song was a better release than Jopping and...
Backpack.
Their, some of their recent stuff, like 100, I think it was. Like, I like that one, too. I like 100 better than Jopping. So, it was, like... I just really like the song. I think, okay, so my bias in Super M has been crawling up on my list. Mark?
I knew it. Like, yeah.
He's been killing it. Like, this entire year.
You love his
pink entire career,
mullet?
Basically.
That Leo energy.
We got his pink mullet. Radiating.
We'll post the picture of the mullet on IG.
Yeah.
Yeah, they stuck a bunch of eyeliner on him this time, which was like, whoa.
Rimmed.
And then...
all around the eye.
And then they, I mean, I think his rapping skills are top class.
Yeah.
Like, on the same level as...
we've talked about this.
Like, someone that could go on... I'm pretty sure he's been on, like, those rap shows that, like, don't include K-pop rappers. Like, the ones that can actually...
yeah.
Like, handle on their own.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just refreshing to hear him, and I think he's really shining in this comeback and has been basically the entire year, but I thought that he was doing really good in this comeback.
I don't know who's... I think it was Gabe who said it in the chat, but it was like, Tiger Inside is Kick It, the sequel, and I wholeheartedly agree with that statement.
Yeah. I have one thing to add about Tiger Inside. Sammy and I watched it together when it premiered. And the part where they're saying dinner's ready, yeah, We misunderstood what they were saying. We didn't hear dinner's ready yet at all because when we watched it, when it was first released, the English subtitles weren't ready. So they just like played the video. And Sammy and I both thought that they were saying in the sweaty air. We're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. Like,
in the sweaty air. And now
okay, I can kind of hear it,
and
I
now
guess.
Every time I listen to that song, I can't unhear it.
Dinner's Ready is such a memeable thing, too, because, like, I lost my mind at this video, and I need to do the same for Taemin. I think I'm just going to start shit posting all the time on our IG, because I made a time...
Do it.
I photoshopped Taeyong's face over freaking Tiger King promo pics, and then I shoved the rest of the members of SuperM in the background. That's how obsessed I became with Taeyong from this MV. And that Dinner's Ready part, when Mark who says it, like, in the...
I think it's 10.
Oh, it's 10? I think that is the greatest thing they've ever contributed to K-pop. Dinner's Ready, yeah. You can use that as a response, a meme response to anything. Picture of Taemin, Dinner's Ready, yeah.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna make it a thing.
Yeah.
I love that.
So also, while this song is like very much a rap performance song, very kind of just very impressive, I thought that the vocals and the harmonies that whoever composed the song, it was also really unique. Like there was a lot of like half steps, like minor, very interesting kind of like jumps up and down all of a sudden. Like that's like, it's not easy to be singing that at the same time where they're going so hard. And
okay.
I know that Baekhyun, like, always does his high note.
Yeah.
But, like...
Ashley predicted two of those.
It still sounded, like, really impressive and good.
The melody was good, I'll give you that. But it was a standard SM production, you know? Like, everything about this screamed SM.
Yes.
So...
What were they supposed to scream?
Okay, fine. My favorite comment from this group is when this song first came out, Casey texted our group chat saying, Super M is a visual group only. Let's not pretend they're about music. And that statement is so fucking accurate. I stand by it as well.
But I'm trying to say that... That is true, but they can also sing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They all can sing.
That's why they're in Super M. They're supposed to be the freaking Avengers of K-pop or whatever.
Right.
You know, oh my god, like, we're bringing that back.
I know, right? They're outstanding.
I'm not here for the positivity, okay? Like, I'm not here for that. I'm here for the belly exposure and the visuals. That's it.
I just got haunted by the memory of Kai at the concert.
Also, that was the last K-pop concert that we went to before the world shut down. So, like,
R.I.P.
It was just really sad.
R.I.P.
On a last note, I think this came out, a week and a half mm-hmm. ago. And since poor... Taeyong, bless his soul, he's been like destroyed these last couple days because his dog passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Ruby, he was so sad. Ruby. He posted like a whole soliloquy on Twitter. Poor Ruby. And similar to I don't know if this is a good comparison, but he went on to VLive a couple of days ago.
Oh, I saw that.
And was clearly just wanting to talk to fans to make him feel better. Which is like, if that's your emotional outlet, that's fine. But it looked like the entire time he was just gonna cry. Like, the entire time he was, like, on the verge of tears. I sent a couple of clips to Idol Talk, our group chat, and he basically talks about how, like, I love my mom, I love my dad, I love SM, I love Ruby too, I love our fans. I was like, this is the saddest, like, thing I've ever listened to.
Taeyong can't catch a break. first he was accused of bullying, and then his dog's dead, and now they're trying to bring all, I mean, we'll get into it at some point, I guess, but poor guy.
Poor guy, like, he has to do all of this, he has to take care of NCT, like, I'm gonna pray for him. I'm sure Mark is praying for him, too.
I'm sure Mark is holding him. Like the little Leo he is.
Yep. Anyways.
Ashley, you're so heartless.
That's all I have about Super M.
You're just fucking laughing this whole time.
All right, Ashley, you're next. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So, this is a continuation of our last episode, episode 32, K-Bops. And my recommendation is Treasures Dolowa, which means come to me. So ever since Chris recommended Boy, I've been fucking obsessed with Treasure. I love those little children so much. That's fine. Okay, I admit that about myself. I'm sorry, Nathan. I'm sorry, Casey. I'm sorry, Chris. Like, I have a lot of sons, and I hop around groups, and that's just who I am. Like, I consume information very quickly. I like am obsessive, and that's why I like K-pop.
Quickly, but I like still deep.
You are the Toy Story Andy of this group. You use your toys, you get bored of them, then you pick up some new ones, and then you move away to college.
I need a son in order for me to get invested in a group. You know, like I need a bias. And for me, bias is synonymous with sun. Okay, is that fine? Can you accept that? Okay, okay. Now
I already had a long conversation about it with you this weekend, okay. And I'm not about to rehash that.
Okay, I love Na Jaemin, and I still have him in my heart, okay? I love NCT Dream. Anyway, let's talk
about...
I'm this
close to calling Child Protective Services and taking him away from you, and I already said that to you this weekend.
Oh my god, let's just talk about Treasure. We'll rehash this another time.
Let's give Treasure their moment, okay?
Okay.
Rookie group.
Tell me about Treasure.
They're going to win Rookie of the Year, it sounds like, thanks to all of Ashley's votes.
Yes, they are Rookie of the Year eligible. And my new son, my newly adopted son, his name is Choi Hyun-suk. And he is the leader of Treasure, their main rapper, and also a dancer. So... I'm not going to go into Treasure now because we already talked about him or them in our last episode. So I'm just going to talk about my son and the bullshit that YG has put him through. Okay?
Yes. What's the hot
gas? So this timeline starts in 2018 on the survival show Mixed Nine. So Mixed Nine was a YG survival show with JTBC, and the concept was like they take like 200 boys and girls, and whoever they like separate a boy group, separate a girl group, and make girls and boys compete against each other, and whoever is the winner like debuts. And at the end of the show, spoiler alert, a boy group was formed of 8 or 7 members, whatever, and Choi Hyun-suk was in it. However, there were some, like, YG canceled the group's debut because, like Produce 101, this show had trainees from, like, fucking all over the place. Like, all of the entertainment companies. The debut group in Mixed Nine included that one boy from Pops of Seoul that replaced Felix in, like, the dance tutorials. I think it's the boy from Ace, whatever. So the group breaks up. All of these boys go back to their original entertainment companies. Then comes 2019, when YG creates another survival show called Treasure Box. And so, as you know from the last episode, the group that came out of Treasure Box was called Treasure 13. And this is a group that consisted of two subgroups, Treasure and Magnum. And their like umbrella group is Treasure 13. Then one member left, whatever his name is, from the Magnum group. And then they're like, okay, well, Treasure 13 doesn't fucking work as a umbrella name because now there's 12 members. So they just like combined them into Treasure. And the reason why they like halted the promote, like the debut, because this group was supposed to debut in like May, June 2019. But the reason why they didn't debut was because this was a project group produced by YG himself. Like, this is his baby group. And so, as you know, this was around the time when, like, he was charged for prostitution and all, like, the whole YG dumpster fire, episode 13, go listen,
it was,
or
gambling.
Episode 3. Right. It was gambling. And that's why the group was stopped. And then, like, after it got postponed indefinitely, YG came up with, like, a strategy to consolidate the group into one and then continuously drip out, like, content for solo members and units until the debut of the joint group, which was August 7th, 2020. And so the song I wrecked is, there's only two songs on their mini album that was released, Boy, which is their debut title, and then Come to Me, which is the B-side. And Boy is like very like electronic YG style, but Come to Me is very like cutie. It's like little boy and ooh, like wholesome, and I love it. It's more like a chill song and something you just want to vibe to, which is totally my style, according to my sister. I like slow vibes, slow pop vibes. So yeah, Choi Hyun-suk got fucked by YG twice. Twice. YG the company and YG himself. Fuck that guy.
So I think it's really interesting that I don't know much about Treasure, but I know that it's a larger group. They sound non-YG. They sound very traditional K-pop.
So this is what I said.
Which usually YG's not.
Yeah. This is what I said in the episode when I wrecked them for Boy. I was saying that this sounds a lot like NCT. Like, it's the NCT.
It sounds
of
like a
YG.
Mixture of NCT. It sounds a little bit like EXO. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. They're for sure more vocal than what I expected YG to have. Because YG is very hip hop.
Which is a departure from YG nature.
Uh-huh. It's very hip hop, very rap natured. Mm-hmm. You know, most of their songs are more lean towards that. It still has the production of a YG, like as far as the, called? I guess the instrumentals would that be the right word to use?
Mm-hmm.
The instrumentals are still very YG. You know, it's very like, dun, 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 you know, like the heavy beats type of stuff. But for sure more vocal. So I found it very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah, it's also a departure from YG's size of the group. They've always resisted the big groups, right? Every new group that came out, right, their largest group was like Icon Winner, which isn't even big considering like we've got groups like 17, right, that are huge.
Or NCT.
Which is why also it's like, oh, it's really interesting that they went this route.
Yeah, well.
And I'm kind of having like,
they originally didn't want to go this route. They only went this route because the name Treasure 13 didn't fit anymore because they're now 12 members. And I noticed as you guys were saying, like talking just now, YG is like all about efficiency with these fucking survival shows because they just debut everyone that comes out of it and they just separate them into two groups. Like the previous survival show was Icon winner with winner being the, what is it, the winner and like Icon being the B group. And they just debuted both of them. Mm-hmm. Same thing with like with Treasure Box.
It's because this is survival show 101 for you. They just get the fans invested, right? And then even the non-winners are going to have their spotlight and they already have a following.
Yeah, this that's exactly true.
What the model is supposed to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Mnet did that with Produce 101, right? Like even some of the, I mean, actually, I think there's some gender bias there because it mostly happened for the boy groups that they have, the ones that don't win can still have success. I don't know about the women. I think it's less, which is really sad. But like JBJ was born out of Produce group and they didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a second tier group that debuted sub 101. Right. Same thing with Winner and Icon. Like one was going to win, but like they both ended up winning.
Right.
And it's the same thing that's going to happen to Island. Like they're all going to make their, they're all going to make their spot. They're all going to have their spotlight because they're all going to have big followings.
Yeah, that's
it's just who's going to fit into where. Yeah. You can't have two of the strong dancers in one. So you're going to have to choose one. One's going to get the A group, one's going to get the
that
B group.
That is exactly what Peter was saying while we watch. He says this every single time when we watch Island. Is he's just as invested as us, too. But he does say,
if they put me through this trauma only to debut like 12 people, I'm going to be livid.
I'm quoting him right now.
I don't think they're going to debut everyone, but they're going to debut them in separate groups.
They're
going to
debut the ones that have a huge following for sure.
Like Taki.
He says that if they're smart, they're going to use this to their advantage to debut them because that's money at the end of the day for them.
So what's the point of watching these shows if everyone's just going
to... To get you invested to their lives.
So they can that's debut with a fan base and already have like money in the bank.
Yeah. Yeah. We're invested. We're so deep into Island. I'll support
it's
all of them.
It's consumed me.
Yeah. Except... the people I don't like, I'm not going to support them.
Anyways, that is for an episode in the future. But yeah, anyways. Treasure, we got a rec from Jamie, we got a rec from Taemin, and Super M. Wow, we had a great discussion today. I enjoyed this a lot.
Likewise.
Yes. We went off.
Anyways, thank you all for tuning in. If anyone has any feedback to us, send it to us at idletalkpod@gmail.com. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts. And we are on Instagram and Twitter at idletalkpod. So please follow us there. And until next time, thank you for tuning in. We will see you all later. Good night, everyone.
Bye. Bye. Watch Record of the Youth. Support Park Bo-gum.
Vote on Weavers for definitely. Island.
Justice for Jungwon. We'll be right back.